Hello, church family from the McFarlands.
Hello, church family from the Atchisons.
Hello, church family.
Good morning, church.
Hello, church family from the McAvoy.
Hello, church family from the Brines.
Hello, church family from Ruth.
Hello, church family from the Gibsons.
Hi, church family from the Roses.
Hello, church family.
Hello, church family from the Currys.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to be singing together again in a few moments. But just before we do, I want to read some verses from Psalm 40 just to focus our thoughts. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolate pit, out of the muddy clay, and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will put their trust in the Lord. How happy is anyone who has put his trust in the Lord? Our first song this morning is a song of hope as we sing of Christ, the cornerstone, the one in whom our hope is built. Let's sing together now with joy as we hear of the goodness of God.
See you.
cross commands all the hosts of heaven. Who else can make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness trembles? Only a holy God. What other beauty demands such praises? What other splendor outshines the sun? What other majesty rules with justice? Only a holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God. What other glory consumes thy fire? What other power can raise the dead? What other name remains undefeated? Only a holy God. Could offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him father? Only a holy God, only my holy God.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity to meet again this way and for the skills of individuals and the technology that enable it to happen. We thank you also for the blessing of church family. We remember those who have gone before us and their impact on us as individuals and as a church family today. Lord, today we remember to you those who are struggling emotionally, physically, or mentally. Please draw close to them that they would know a deep peace that comes only from you. As a church family, please help us to recognise the needs of others and give us wisdom in these unusual circumstances, Lord, to show us how we can best meet those needs. Thank you for those who are involved in our mercy ministry, and we pray for the connections that would be made through this within our own church and also the wider community. Lord, we give you thanks for our church leadership and how they have responded in this time and developed our online resources and ability to meet remotely. We pray that you would continue to strengthen them and give them the wisdom as they lead. Lord, we are conscious that the familiarity of routines and schedules has been lost for several weeks. Work and school demands have changed and continue to change for so many, and the days can feel unsettling and overwhelming. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that each day is a day ordained by you, and that everything comes from you and finds its purpose in you. Would you help us, Lord, to trust you in the uncertain and altered routines of everyday life, and to know for each of us our purpose is found only in you, and to know you continue to be at work, even when we can't see it for ourselves. We ask that you would fill us all with your spirit of power and love and help us to recognise your sovereign care to us and remember that we are not alone. You're always faithful and unchanging, despite the circumstances we face. Lord, would you help each of us to remember and be comforted by this? By your Spirit, help us to be faithful to you, pursue closeness with you, so that we can know peace for ourselves, enable us to respond to needs around us, and to share our hope with others. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Ekklesia, a word in Greek for gatherings called, first formed on Christian lips for meetings walled. But when more modern mouths said church, the idea was made to lurch to the stone and glass cathedrals of the medievals. So, what is the church? A people now contained in concrete walls with added halls? No. The church is a people gathered from the sins scattered. Not a building, but a body, formed of living stones, not bones, with the sinew of the Spirit tying us together and the heartbeat of the Father pumping saving blood in our corporate arteries and veins to our head, the Christ who reigns. We are branches on a vine, sprouting fruit of the divine. We are sheep within a fold, with a shepherd bold enough to seek the lost and bring them in despite their sin. We are the kingdom priests, with special feasts to remember the Son who made us one. We are an army, with armour forged in the fires of his suffering, the final offering. A champion's at our head. He is not dead. He leads his people forth to show the earth that the love that spreads among us still defines us as belonging to the Father. So, as we long to gather like pigeons compelled to try to make it home who fly back to the roost, let's fly to Christ, each in him dwell, under the roof of Emmanuel.
Good morning, boys and girls. I hope you're all keeping well and enjoying this lovely weather and spending time with your family. I want to take a few minutes this morning to talk to you about family, and I'm going to start by showing you a couple of pictures. So, these pictures, boys and girls, are of my family. I'm the little one in the picture, and there's also my sister, my mum and my dad. At the minute, I don't live in the same house as my mum and dad and my sister. And my sister has her own house now too, with her husband and two children. But even though we don't live in the same house, we are all still part of this family. And that made me think this week about another family that I'm part of and you're part of as well. We are all part of the Hamilton Road Baptist Church family. Just like I don't live in the same house as my mum and dad anymore, we aren't all meeting in this building at the minute. And that's quite sad. But the really exciting thing is, even though we aren't going to this building, we are all still part of the Hamilton Road Baptist Church family. And that's a really exciting family to be part of. That made me think a little bit about the early church. And in the book of Acts in the Bible, we read about this early church and some of the things that that church had to do. And I believe that lots of the things the early church did, we do still in our church today. And I just want to take a few minutes to talk to you about some of those things. The first three things that the early church did: they prayed, they worshipped, and they had teaching. So if we think about our church, every Sunday and throughout the week, we have times of prayer where we talk to God. We worship God through song, and we see that on a Sunday in the main church, but also when you go up to Lighthouse, you sing songs to God as well. And then teaching. On a Sunday, the adults of the church receive teaching about God from Johnny or Keith. And all of you, when you go to Lighthouse or when you go to Coney's or Junior's, you hear Bible stories about God. and that's teaching. The two other things are a little bit unusual, so I'm going to explain these. The first one is fellowship. Fellowship, that really means when the Christian people from the church spent time with one another. They encouraged one another, helped one another, and even shared meals with each other. And I believe that our church is good at fellowship. The other then is breaking of bread, and that's another word for communion. Communion happens in our church every Sunday morning or evening, and that is where the adults in the church meet together and they thank God for sending his son Jesus to die, and we share a meal together to thank God for that. All of these things that the early church did are found in the Bible in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 44. Now there's another family that we can be part of, and this family is the best family ever to be part of, and that is God's family. A couple of weeks ago, Heather talked to us about Easter, the Easter story, and how Jesus died on the cross for us, for our sins. And because Jesus died, we can come into that family. We can come and we can say sorry to God for all the wrong things that we've done and ask him to be part of that family. Now, I love a challenge, and I thought I would finish this week by setting you a challenge. Some of you know that I'm a primary school teacher, and at the minute, I really miss the boys and girls from my class. I miss their stories that they come up and share with me every day about what they get up to at home or what they did in the playground at break time. But this week, my class started to use the app Seesaw, and they've been able to send me videos of themselves. And I just had a big smile on my face when I saw their little faces again telling me what they've been up to. I wonder this week, would you, boys and girls, like to put a big smile on the faces of some of our church family? We can't meet together in our church building at the moment, but as I've said, we're still part of that church family. So my challenge for you this week, could you and your family spend some time praying for members of our church family that you can't see at the moment? Could you maybe make some cards for people in church that you miss and post them to them? Or what about getting your family to record a video of you? Maybe just talking about what you've been up to, or perhaps you and your siblings, or just you, could sing a little song with actions and send that video to some people from our church. I know that that would make them smile, and that would be a lovely thing to do.
Ooh, the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child. I am who you say I am. You are for
child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
In the Gospel according to Luke, we've been discovering over these last Sunday broadcasts all that Jesus began to do and teach. And here in the book of Acts, we discover that Jesus continues to teach, only this time it will be through his apostles, and they will be empowered by God the Holy Spirit. The apostles are now going to be messengers and witnesses to all that Jesus said and all that he did, and that they were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ. They were preachers of the resurrection. But what happens in the book of Acts? Well, it begins incredibly with Peter preaching an amazing sermon where up to 3,000 people get converted in one day. Just 12 apostles and 3,000 converts that they need to organize, they need to disciple, they need to teach about what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we find in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, is the birth of a supernatural community, the birth of the church, the birth of the family of believers. You see, across the book of Acts, we see that the gospel and the church will spread like an out-of-control locomotive, starting at Central Station in Jerusalem, and then it would go into Judea, and then it would spread into Samaria, and it would even go to the ends of the earth. But the gift that God would give to spread this wonderful message would be people. And people who would be birthed into a supernatural community. So what does this supernatural community look like? Well, there were three things that jump out to me as I look at this passage. They witnessed, they were in fellowship, and they worshipped. But let's look at this first one. Let's look at the worship that was happening in this supernatural community. Verse 42. And they, the believers, devoted, or they clung to, or they held tightly to four things. Firstly, teaching. Secondly, fellowship. Third, to the breaking of bread. And fourth, to prayers. In their worship, they clung to the teaching of the apostles, the apostolic doctrine. You say, what is that? It would have been all that they had watched and observed and witnessed in the life of Jesus, what they had observed through the death of Jesus, what came true through the resurrection of Christ. They had spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had been discipled by Christ. They were eyewitnesses to the resurrection. So you can imagine this newly born church family, this supernatural community, clinging to all that the apostles had to say about the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The early church, they devoted themselves to that. They also devoted themselves to fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. It means family, bonds, to have all things in common, to be together as a new family. Many of these early converts would have been disowned by their own Jewish family or by some other form of family. And so sometimes the only people that new converts to Christianity had were Christians. And so they clung to the fellowship with one another. But the head of this supernatural community, the leader of this spiritual family, was the risen Lord. And so as they devoted themselves to teaching, as they devoted themselves to fellowship, they also devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And in the breaking of bread, they remembered the Lord Jesus Christ. As they broke bread, they remembered his body broken for them on the cross. As they drank from the cup, they remembered the blood that he shed for them on the cross. And so you can imagine the synergy and the power of the Holy Spirit in these early gatherings as they listen to the apostolic doctrine, as they devote themselves to one another as part of this new family, and they remember the Lord, the head of this supernatural community. And they opened lines of communication with their Heavenly Father through the fourth thing they devoted themselves to in worship. And that was to prayer. That was to prayer. If you were able to spend time in the book of Acts today, you will see that the early church were always praying. Praying that the Holy Spirit might move. Praying that Jesus Christ would indwell in their hearts. Praying that the Lord Jesus Christ would make an impact in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They were always praying as they worshipped. But what happened as a result of this worship? Consider verse 43. And awe or fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. There wasn't just this sense of wonderful worship, but the worship was overflowing into the streets. The apostles were performing miraculous signs and wonders as the teaching and the ministry and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ went on through these special messengers who were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ. This is an incredible supernatural community. They devoted themselves to worship.
Holy, thou art holy,
Second thing this supernatural community devoted themselves to was fellowship. It's already been alluded to, but Dr. Luke explains more in verses 44 to 45 for us. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. Consider that little phrase again, and all who believed were together. A Christian is said to be born again when they become a follower of Jesus. They have a new life. They have a new start. Paul says if anyone's in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. But we are not born into isolation. We're born into a fellowship. We're born into a family. And so this early supernatural community devoted themselves to fellowship. They were together. They were created for this community, just like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit live in triune community. So the Christian who is made in the image and in the likeness of God is created for this form of fellowship and community. And the overflow of this wasn't socialism. The overflow of this wasn't communism. No, they met the needs of those in their spiritual community as the Holy Spirit moved their heart. It wasn't that everybody became absolutely equal with the right amount of money or the right amount of food or the right amount of possessions. No, God the Holy Spirit, who always moves people to focus on other people, this supernatural community looked around and looked for the needs and set to meet them through the gifts they had and through the resources they had. This is a supernatural community, devoting themselves to worship, devoting themselves to fellowship. And lastly, this worship and this fellowship, it was spreading like wildfire. As I said earlier, it was moving like a out of control locomotive, and it was going to travel over the entire world. That takes us to our third point. They were a supernatural community devoted to witness, to worship, to fellowship, and to witness. Verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, listen to this, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Isn't this amazing? Jews and Gentiles and people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation and every language were being added to this supernatural community. So many people had come to Jerusalem for the feast, and now they had heard about the risen Lord Jesus. They had got saved, and they're now going to go back to their homes with the good news that Jesus Christ gives people a new life if they repent of their sins and give their lives to him. This community, this supernatural fellowship, were devoted to witness. It appears, based on church history, that they went up to the temple every day, and the apostles stood and taught the people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and many unbelievers listened, repented of their sins, and obeyed. And that would be our prayer for you today if you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ. That as you consider this supernatural community, devoting themselves to worship, devoting themselves to fellowship, devoting themselves to witness, that you will be part of this community, that you even today will be added to this supernatural community. How do you do that? Well, you need to allow Jesus Christ to change your heart. Paul the Apostle writes about what Jesus does for us in Romans chapter 5. He said, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. I wonder on this day, will you give Jesus a hearing like so many people did at the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2? Will you today join this supernatural community? The Bible says, come to Jesus while he may be found. His arms are not too short to be able to reach out and to save you. Let's respond now as we sing our closing song.
Our final song this morning makes a subtle shift in the lyrics towards the end, where it moves from saying the Lord is my salvation to saying the Lord is our salvation, which is a great reminder to us that the grace of God for each of us is something which brings us together in fellowship. Let's proclaim the gospel of God now as we do this as an act of fellowship, even though we're apart, as we sing together, the Lord is our salvation.
Salvation, glory be to Can say a big thank you to everyone who has joined us today. We hope you are encouraged and challenged by God's word to us. Can I also say a big thank you to everyone who has taken part from the growth groups, and their welcome to those who sung, those who read, those who prayed, and those who preached. Let's close our time together in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the church. Father, thank you for bringing us together into this body, into this family, that we can encourage one another, that we can worship together, and that we can witness together as well. Father, we long to be back together as a church. Father, but in these days, would you help us, teach us, and train us? Father, we do pray and give you thanks that we can say the Lord indeed is my salvation, and can say that he is our salvation. Father, would you help us not to neglect those who do not yet know such a great salvation. Father, would you help us to be praying and passing on the good news of Jesus to them. So Father, keep us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us again. Have a good day.